Hi folks, it's time for another episode of the Haven Rugby League Fans Podcast with all the latest news and reviews from the Haven. Faz and Stubbsy from Trust in Haven welcome you to this latest episode of our podcast by the Whitehaven Rugby League Independent Supporters Trust. Here we go.
So there we are, and after a few weeks break, we're back with the Haven Rugby League Fans Podcast. Brought to you by the Whitehaven Independent Supporters Trust. This time we're just going to focus near to home. To that end, we're delighted to have assistant coach Jonty Gawley with us this afternoon. Welcome along, Jonty.
Hi, Dave. You all right? Hi, Stubby, mate.
Good to speak with you. And we've got fresh from his holidays in West Cumbria, now back home. In Greater Manchester, our Radcliffe Borough Haven Rugby League fanatic, Paul Stubbs. Welcome along, Paul Stubbs.
Yeah, hi, everybody.
All right. Yeah. So anyway, here we are. It's the last game in August. The season's just got just a few weeks left to run. We'll just really go back. I think we spoke to Jonty sort of February, March time. Things were just starting. I think the thing then, Jonty, we said, what was our objective for the season? And we agreed that anything was a bonus, but the objective was to survive in this division. Well, I think here we are at the end of August. I think we say we have survived and done a bit more. On top of that, it's been a very sort of good season so far, a very positive season. Would you agree, Jonty?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I mean, when we got promoted in 2019, which was a great season, and people say we were not expected to do what we've done in that season. I think it's somewhat similar along them similar lines this year. We've all said, and I've come up openly and said, me and Charlo, the board, everybody, as long as we stay in this league, that was the main objective this year. And if it meant staying third off the bottom, it would have been a successful season for Whitehaven. So what we've done more recently in this league, it's just cemented our position in the championship. We've done really well. We've got over the line in some really tough games, and we haven't just scraped through. I know there's four games left yet and we don't know what'll happen, but I think we've done really well with the squad we've got, with the money we've spent compared to everybody else. And to be in seventh position with four games left, I would have absolutely ripped your right arm off if you give us that at start.
Absolutely, yeah. As I say, it's been a very good season, exceeded expectations, and here we are, well and truly sort of placed for. Yeah. Right. As I say, you know, the months have unfolded, the games have come and gone, as I say, we find ourselves in a position in the league which. At the start of the season, we'd have bit the rest of the league's hand to take it. So, as I say, going back to the start of the season, perhaps had a bit of a hint of what was ahead of us, Jonty, because we started with the Challenge Cup against Dewsbury and turned in a great performance that night, but the league was always the. Was the priority, wouldn't it? And the first month of the season was a bit up and down. Would you agree?
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. And like obviously everybody was in the same boat regarding COVID and a shortened pre-season, if you like. You know what I mean? We were normally going for two or three games pre-season, but the Dewsbury Cup game was a bonus at home because we've got to treat the Challenge Cup with respect, which we do, and we wanted to win, which we did. But it was also good to get another game in before the league started to have a look at our team. So that we did treat it a bit like a friendly, but with a bit more meaning. But
meaning to it, yeah.
That served its purpose. But then we got to Dewsbury in the first game, And that, to me, that's a game we maybe should have won. We maybe yes. should have won that game. I think if things had changed, there was a 12-point turnaround just before half-time. We were 4-0 up. We dropped the ball over the line, possibly being 10-0 going in, but we knocked on and they scored the next set. So we went in with a soft tie under the sticks and we went in 6-4 down. So you're going in at 10-0 and playing all right. You're going in at 6-4 down and then it didn't kick on from there. And that was where the second half started, really.
So as I say, got our first league points against Newcastle Thunder at home, which was a tight game, but a game we were always in front and probably was a result you would have put down as one we would look to win. And that really kicked the season off, I think, from there.
Yeah, you've definitely got to look at teams where you think that's going to be in and around you. We've got to sort of make the record, the LAL, the bit of a fortress on for home games like we did in 2019, and we focused on that. And the Newcastle was one of them games where if we're going to be serious about stopping in this league, we've got to get some points against teams like Newcastle. So that was good to get us off the board, yeah.
I mean, the last four games we've got, I don't think it's an easy game, is it?
No. And we talked about that. Me and Charlo's coaches talked about that. We wouldn't like to be going in to these next four games. Well, even we included the York game last week, the last five games of the season, we needed to be safe before that. We understand that. I'm not saying there's games in this next four, batch of four, we're looking to win, especially with the form we have been in, especially at home. But we need in and around and compete with these teams to make sure that we're in this situation next year as well. But I wouldn't have liked to go into these next four games wanting, say, three wins.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because we're putting pressure on ourselves to get wins, because that's where it really does start nipping a bit.
That's right.
Yeah, so it's good to be safe. It's good to be safe before the end of August, which
that's right. Which was that's right. Credit to yourself and all the playing staff. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for that, Johnny. I'd say, just looking back through the game, I think the game which really highlighted what we could maybe achieve this season was the away game at Oldham at the beginning of May. We went there not with the best record against Oldham, but went there and really turned them over that day with a great display, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's probably been, as in, I wouldn't say it's our best result of the season, but it's definitely been one of our best team performances.
Absolutely.
We missed Callum Phillips, actually. Callum had his four-match ban from Toulouse, and that was Callum's first match back. And he come on and he just ripped all them to shreds. The only is wrong, the lads giving that platform to be able to do that, and we scored some great tries out there, three, four, five passes, and the forwards doing the job, so it always makes your nine's job easier, but Callum was really good that day and he didn't miss any opportunity. So that did make a statement, that, I think. Away at Oldham, same again, a team in and around you. So they would see us as an own win for them. You know
that's
what I mean?
Right.
They're going to be picking points against the likes of us. So it was a bit of a statement that day. Yeah, you're right. It was a good day out, that was.
So what, as I say, showed ourselves and the rest of the league what Whitehaven were about, really. One of the themes early on in the season, John, he was playing away and playing well for part of the game, and then just seemingly switching off for no apparent reason. Thinking about Featherston, you're thinking about Widnes, you're thinking about Sheffield as well. I think were there three consecutive away games where we looked really good for parts of the game, eh?
Yeah, I wouldn't just keep it away games, Dave, to be honest. I'm going to be truthfully honest. The one that sticks out in my mind that is the Batley game at home, around about that period. We had them points in the bag and we just give them back to the Batley, basically. We were in real commanding position. It was 18-4 or something at half-time. Real commanding position. We played really well in that first 40 minutes. And for some reason, around about that time of the season, whether it was first half or second half, then it turned to the second half. It was, we were coming out like the game at Featherston, they're tough games anyhow. But we went down there with a few lads missing and giving a few lads who hadn't had a game. We had give them a go. And like you say, when you're going down there with four, five, six lads who would normally start not playing, and you're in the game after 60 minutes with something like Featherston, that showed me like a bit of a character that we've got in the squad.
Yeah.
regardless of who we're playing. And we always say, if we go, if we do everything in our powers to get to be right, we'll give anybody game on the day. And I think that sort of proved that a bit at Featherstone. We were in the game for 60 minutes because we'd done things right for 60 minutes. And then one or two slip ups, things like that will put you to the sword. So, and it was like that for that period. You're right, Dave. There was two or three home games. Again, a commanding position against Sheffield away. And we ended up scraping a point with them. You know what I mean? I think we were 14 points up at the start of the second half. And we just turned that much ball over. We just defended for the full second half later on. And we got away with a point. There was a couple of bad decisions, but I'm not one for blaming the ref. I look at how many balls we dropped, how many penalties we give away, and things like that. But we have learned from that, because we've had games recently where we've been in that position, but we've got over the line. You know what I mean? I've said out in the press, recently, if that had been at that time, 6, 8, 10 weeks ago, we'd have probably lost games where it's been tight, but we've got over the line. So we showed a bit of improvement in that area. All right, Dev.
he's disappeared.
He's back.
He's come back. He's back.
No, he's gone.
Oh, he's gone again.
So he's back. So, as I said, definitely a bit of a, as I say, the Batley game at home followed that sort of pattern. The game the following week when we went to London again, I think followed that pattern. But from that point onwards, we seem to find that little bit extra, and we from that point we up to last Sunday we won 6 out of 7 games, which great effort really all around from everybody, John. Yeah,
that's right. I mean, the lads have showed a lot of character, and we've said all the time I've been at Whitehaven with Charlo, we cannot knock the lads' effort. Their effort's always there, whatever happens. It's just misplaced at times. We have to do too much defender times because of our ball control and stuff like that, and our lack of execution sometimes puts us, and the penalties puts us in a position in the field we don't need to be defending. We should be in there that defend our own 20, and that's when we concede points after penalty errors and we're backing up sets. And good teams do. They do score with opportunities like that. But yeah, it's I don't know. It's something we've improved with. So and it has proved that we went on, like you said, on a 6 out of 7. And in among that, we're 5 out of 5 at home in our last home game. So hopefully this week, I would love to think we'd make it 6 out of 6 at home. Eh?
Yeah, it's a big one really this weekend, isn't it? It's a bit of we want our own back here.
The sort of touches up a bit down at Widnes the last time we were down there. It got a bit out of hand for us. So that was only really that game, the Toulouse game, that's proper got out of control, you know what I mean?
And
I'm just actually doing a bit of video, and I'm doing video now for the Widnes game for the night's training, and they were very good last week against Halifax. And Halifax, bearing in mind, they were 9 out of 9, I think, before last week.
They got it together, haven't they, Halifax?
Yeah, but I just looked at the completion rate. I think Halifax was down about 60% and Widnes are over 80%. So that's a bit of a difference there. Maybe Halifax have had off day and Widnes are sort of putting a bit of fall. Yeah, Widnes look good. They do look good, but there's some areas we can get at when we've got the ball as well.
Good. Yeah. So you're looking on Sunday as a game that's well within our capabilities of taking both the points again and continuing that home run, Jundy.
Yeah, I mean, I've always had belief and Charlo's always had belief in this squad we've got together. And I do think at the start of the year that belief wasn't there, but it is now. And when you're turning the wrongs on last week, we were off last week against York, and York's got a good roster, but when they come to our spot, That was a great performance against York. Nobody was expecting that. You know what I mean? And we've got to make the record and LEL a bit of a fortress. And there's nothing stopping us if we do everything in our power right that we can do correctly on Sunday. There's nothing stopping us getting 2 points against Widnes. Yeah. But saying that, if we do start dishing them too much ball up, and they're a great side. They are a good side. I was very impressed with them. I just watched them there with the ball. They ask a lot of questions. They've some good players. So if we give them too much ball, we'll be in a situation like we were last weekend. But like I say, if we do the things what we need to do correctly, it'll make a game of it.
So yeah, so this, as I say, the season's now well on its way. We've got a few games left to play. In terms of the squad, you probably won't want to single anybody out, but in terms of the squad, all the players we brought in, we talked about it being lots of new faces and that. What's your thoughts on the squad, the individuals in the squad? I suppose a lot will be to do if we keep hold of certain players next year as well, I suppose, John.
That's right. It's right. It's good. I always say when your wingers are scoring tries, you're playing some good football. Good football, yeah. And that's what sort of not disappointing, because I understand it's. I'm on about the crowds here. I do think the rugby we play in at times, especially at home, deserve more than 800, 900.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we do, and I understand money's tight and COVID and all like that, but it is a good spectacle at times, you know what I mean? So, and when your wingers are like Lockie and Bowman, and you've got lads like Carl Dixon in your side and Nick Owen, Lewis, you're free, you're playing some good rugby, you know what I mean? Right. And like I said, I mentioned names there, and they've all been good. Everybody's contributed, you know what I mean? So
yeah, absolutely.
There's some unsung heroes in the team. And I'll say if Wayne comes off the pitch later, I can't speak highly enough of Tom. Wilco's been great for us.
Yes.
He just gets on with his job. He's one of them people that not a lot of the crowd will notice, but as a coach, you appreciate players like Wilco. What he does for you. But like you say, he's none of his own. There's lads there. They just get on with the job. I thought Conor Alder, from the start of the season, Conor Alder's been a revelation on that right-hand side.
Yeah.
He's a threat every time he gets the ball. So yeah. Conor's really kicked on this season.
So, yeah. So, the lads we brought in from down under, Lachlan Wormsley and Nick Owen, we've seen them sped into the team and improve as the season's gone on, and prove to be good acquisitions.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, Lockie is a class above, isn't he? He's come over. They've all took the punt to come over and put themselves in the shop window. And I think Lockie's done that superbly this year with his acrobatic finishes. But it isn't all about that. His returns are great. He's setting tries up. We give Dicko a good try against York. Him and Jesse linked together. And you know what I mean? He's just a threat. Every time he's carrying that ball, he just doesn't look like, when you look at him, you think he's going to get snapped in half, but because he's not to him, but he's just that agile and he's wiry, he's strong. You know what I mean? He's got good balance, he's fend. Everything about him is good. So Lockie's had a great season. He really has. I know he's got some interest from other clubs and that, so we'll have to see what happens there, but I'd love to keep him. Nick Owen started a bit slow, but he's quiet. He's typical Kiwi. He's quiet. He's laid back. But Nick Owen's come on. He has really come on. His kicking game was something we desperately needed. As of last year, we didn't have really much of a kicking game. And really, in 2019, we got away with that without having one. So Nick Owen's fetched that loss. So Nick Owen's grew as the season's come on. And same again, Nick Owen's a lad that we'd like to keep. It's good to see Kingy. Kingy's come over now. I've never seen anybody be as regimental with the rehab with something like Kingy's had. He's been really 100% in everything he's done for this rehab. And Touchwood is coming on. He's tough. I like how he plays. When he's tackling, he's proper trying to hurt somebody in the tackle. He's all effort and he's quite good with the ball. He's skillful. He's got good feet himself for the big lad. So it'd be good to get a few more games under his belt and see what King is about as well. But what I've seen so far, I mean, but I like what I'm seeing.
Yeah, brilliant. So yeah, so I mean, already we know that one player's leaving us. I suppose from your point of view, you won't want anyone else to depart the scene. But at the end of the day, that's in somebody else's sort of remit to sort out, I suppose. So I suppose what I'm asking is you would like to keep all the players you've got this year and maybe add two of them for next year?
Yeah, I mean, we've got to look at it. Nobody knows. I watched an interview with Carl Hall and I follow Craig Lingard. I've got a thing with Craig Lingard. you know, every time he'd make me have a good crack and that sort.
Yeah.
And they're the fellas, and when they're talking about not knowing what the budget is for next year, and you can't put a squad together, because nobody knows yet what they are, what the budget's going to be for RFL. It's the end of August, and this time last year, we had a full squad sorted. We haven't now. We had six lads who were already decided for this year, so we're a bit more than that now, but we're still nowhere near finished. But you can't blame anybody, because nobody knows what the budget's going to be.
The lack of detail, the lack of information, lack of clarity. Yeah, you really got your hands tied behind your back.
One thing, I'd like you say, that we maybe need to talk in a few weeks' time regarding. I know. So that's maybe something we need to talk about, Dave, in 5-6 weeks' time regarding squads and next year and stuff like that. So it's a bit tough at the moment.
We'll see how things unfold, and as I say, when we know more, and you've perhaps been able to do more, we'll come back to that one. Just as I say, it's been good to talk in some really interesting points there. Just one interesting point, looking at the league table, we're seventh. First point is, do you think we can finish any higher? Do you think there's enough scope there to get into the top six?
If the games haven't been called off and stuff, like last weekend, like I said, that last weekend's fixture, Newcastle London, if that had been on, that would have helped us, because I honestly think Newcastle would have turned on another last week, because Samet's out, and they didn't look like a full-time team when we played, and whether that was how we played, I'm going to take full credit for that, because I think maybe they had a bit of an off day as well, but take nothing away from our lads, that was a great win, a real good win. We convincingly beat them. So
absolutely.
If they were going away to Newcastle last week, the week after we beat them, I proper fancy Newcastle turn them over, which would have done us a favour.
Yeah.
Now, with that game being called off because of COVID, doesn't do us a favour with the percentages in the league.
Right.
So with the games we've got left, I haven't really looked at what other teams have got left, like London. Don't know that, let's forget that there, but we've just got to finish strong and don't fizzle out this season, you know what I mean? We've got 4 games left. We have got a lengthened injury list again, I should say. So there will be some lads not playing, and we just need to keep that. And it'll give, don't get me wrong, that'll give other lads some game time, which they need. Some lads who haven't been playing quite regular, they'll get some minutes in the legs before the end of the season to see what like for next year. But I really would like to finish strongly. Whoever we're playing and whatever 17 we've got out, we can't let this, what's happened so far in this season, just be top 4 games and nothing happens in them, you know what I mean? We need to be pushing for 2 points in all these 4 games. So, we need to finish strong, mate. So what happens with the league positions, and we can only do what we can do. And if someone comes and we escape that sixth place, great. But if it doesn't, we've achieved what we needed to do this year.
We've still achieved more than we could have hoped for. Just one other interesting thing I noticed, it's maybe just me, I don't know. We've played the most games of any team in the Championship, John. Yeah,
double jabbers. We're all double jabbers.
That's right. Yeah. So that might be just down to good luck, but it might be the way the club's managed everything. I don't know, and if it is, that's someone else.
I can't speak highly enough of our COVID team, Kerry and Kelly and Big Andy. They've done a great job. They're proper stringent. Yeah. I think it does help us being out on the limb, geography wise. You know what I mean? These cities, and that they have had it tough, but we've been quite lucky, touch wood, regard. I think we've had Lockie had a case and Nico was positive, but we got through that. So we haven't really been hit hard by it. And I'm glad we've played a lot of games in the Championship, because I would hate to play less and still keep up.
Yeah, good point.
Our games, with a new team in the Championship, we need to be playing every week. And
good point.
To give everybody as much experience.
In it's like Cumbria water. That's
More games we play now, but it's better we'll be for next year.
Of course it will.
Like to think. Okay then. All right. Well, I think we've covered just about most things there, John. As I say, you're going into Sunday confidence, and rightly so. Let's hope it's another home win. Best of luck to yourself and the lads, and let's hope we can finish the season off on a good note. As you say, it'd be a shame to just to fizzle out after what we've done, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah, right, Dave. Even the home games, we've got two home games left. I would love to go finish the championship 7 out of 7, our last home, 7 home games. That would be brilliant. But whether it happens, I suppose that's down to us, really. Yeah. But it'd be good if it did.
Yeah.
Okay, then. Well, thanks very much, Jonty. As always, great talking to you. Always lots of good points and interesting points there, for which we thank you once again. As I say, best of luck to yourself and the lads on Sunday and in the rest of the season. And we'll maybe speak to you when we're in the close season. We'll maybe know a bit more about what's happening for next year. On behalf of myself and Stubbsy and all the supporters, thanks for everything this year. As I say, it's been really wonderful, marvellous, and thanks to you and the lads for making it that way.
thanks very much for having us again.
Thank you, John. Thanks, pal. All right. Well, that's it for this edition of the Haven Rugby League Fans Podcast, brought to you by Trust in Haven, the independent Whitehaven Rugby League Supporters Trust. We'd just like to thank Jonty for joining us. As always worth listening to Jonty. He's doing a great job there, I'm sure you'll all agree, and we look forward to speaking with him again, perhaps in the close season, when no doubt we'll have some new signings and comings and goings to discuss with him. But thanks to Jonty for joining us today. Thanks for Paul Stubbs for joining us, as he always does, from Bury, from Greater Manchester. Just like to finish off by saying that this is done by the Fans Supporters Trust. It's for Haven fans. And if you, as a Haven fan, would like to join us on a future podcast, we'd be delighted to have you along. We do it all remotely, so you can do it via Zoom or whatever. So if you feel you've something to say, if you want to come on and have a chat with us, why not join us on a future podcast? So get in touch with us at our email address, which is trustinhaven@gmail.com. And we'll look forward to sort of having you on board with us on a future one. So that's it. Best of luck to the lads on Sunday. If you want to find anything out about the Independent Haven Rugby League Supporters Trust, Trust in Haven, log on to our website at www.trustinhaven.com. In the meantime, enjoy the game on Sunday against Widnes. Let's hope it's another win. Bye for now.
Well, folks, that's all for another episode of Haven Rugby League Fans Podcast. Produced by Trust in Haven, the Whitehaven Rugby League Independent Supporters Trust. Hope you enjoyed it and will join us for our next podcast. To find out more, visit our website at www.trustinhaven.com.